Did you hear that? What was
I
that?
I heard that.
That's good. Listen to this.
That's pretty
good. Yeah, dude. Oh, it's so good, Brandon. You got to get yourself one of these or you're not a real podcaster.
Yeah, I guess you should.
I think you should. Listen to this. Right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Joe and Tim, it's Whack Attack Hour.
I mean, you know, you got to do anything you can to make this thing seem like a genuine production, right?
Yeah, welcome to the morning zoo.
As soon as I got one of these things and I started using it on my live streams, I just noticed engagement was through the roof.
Yeah,
people just loved hearing these dumb sound effects. I kept talking about my TV that had broken, and I kept being like, my TV broke. So I'm playing this game on my computer monitor, that sort of thing. It was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And maybe to one or two other deranged individuals.
It shows you that those goofy DJs from the 80s and 90s were onto something.
They sure were.
It's just they had honks and aougas. We can have
flushes.
Access to all of our video game sound effects and such.
Bingo!
Bingo! See?
This is episode 218 of Insert Credit, a weekly audio program where a panel of video game experts must contend with a series of questions in the time allotted or be penalized by the sound of a horrible buzzer. I'm Alex Jaffe, and the first dream of mine, which was ever crushed, was when I was told I could grow up to be a train engineer if I wanted, but I couldn't be a train.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm Tim Rogers, and you want to talk about crushed dreams? The first
one, yeah.
First dream of mine that was crushed? I don't know, man. That's about it. That's all I got. I don't know. Most of them. Like, I don't know. Most of them.
How about we go which dreams were not? Maybe easier.
I don't know how many of them were not either.
I'm Brandon Sheffield, and for me, probably, you know, the first dream that was, I guess it was ultimately about capitalism, but I was under the impression that I could vote, and then things would happen that were positive for society.
So that must have been pretty young when you found that out, because this is like your first dream.
Well, I think I didn't have a lot of crushable dreams for a long time.
I barely had any dreams at all.
Yeah, I just wasn't aiming high.
Okay, I don't know if you all know about this. I was raised Catholic, and we were told to just not dream. We were just indoctrinated with the exact opposite of the will to dream. So I just never dreamed anything.
Yeah, someone else is supposed to be dreaming for you.
Up until I was about 18 years old, my mom told me every day I was going to die homeless.
Yeah, so that sets your expectations.
And the only reason it stopped was because I moved out of the house, proving that I could find a home at the very least.
Filling in for Frank and pushing our console ranking episode off yet another week, we're joined by GameDeveloper.com publisher Chris Graft.
Hey, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, crushed dreams. Jeez. My mom was ironing some clothes. I remember this vividly. And then on the TV came on some kind of political, like, dignitary person died. And then I asked my mom, you know, about dying. And then she said, well, everybody dies. And then I ran up to my room and I threw a tantrum.
Oh, God.
That's not fair.
Why do we all have to die? You're kidding me.
Everybody.
Yeah. I was born knowing I was going to die. The doctor, that was the first thing he said to me.
The first thing he said.
You're going to die.
He said, you're going to die someday, kid. And I was like, what?
Yeah, right. Every congratulates your mom.
He said, welcome to heck part zero is what he said.
Welcome to the Thunderdome. If you're going to die.
Well, heck part one of this show is where we take the winner of the previous episode and force them to ask a question this week.
I think everybody lost the previous episode. What, really?
Now, popular consensus was that you won last week's episode with your improv zone call-in.
Oh, did I?
That was good. I listened to that today.
Oh, I had a decent
Ashes
time
was awesome.
With that one.
Yeah.
So if you want, you could ask the first question right now, or you can wait till the second half of the show.
So the question is, do you like Jimmy Trash Can? No, how about we come back to me later?
All right. Then I'm going to ask you this. My friend Wade just told me about a fantasy league he's in where they bet on the Metacritic scores for all the games coming out this year. How do I take him to the cleaners?
Oh, boy.
Well, first of all, tell him he'd better learn how to swim.
Nice. Yeah.
Because his name is Wade. Is his name Wade or Wayne?
No, his name is Wade. You zinged him.
You better learn how to swim.
Nice. Good luck.
Oh, get owned, did you?
I mean, there are so few websites now that have anything to do with Metacritic that you ought to be able to game it somehow that way.
Do that with Steam reviews and then call me Wade.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly positive. Give it, and then you vote on it's like 97% overwhelmingly positive, and then guess the number of reviews. Like that takes real, that's real gambling. Well,
that's I was going to say, you know how like Amazon doesn't let you sort like search results by like number of reviews. Yelp used to let you sort search results by number of reviews. Now they don't. Whereas I believe every single analyticist employed, every statistician employed at any one of these large tech companies knows that number of reviews is definitely the hottest metric. The most direct measure of engagement that you get on any product. I think guessing the number of reviews that a game is going to get on Steam is pretty good. I think that would be fun to bet on. However, I think betting on something, betting on Metacritic scores is actually kind of an interesting thing to do. When I was working at a particular company in the past, we need not disclose which one, I was often asked to guess what score our game would get from which publication that I had somewhat insider knowledge of. What score do you think this game would get on IGN? And it's, you know, I'm looking at a prototype and they're like, what do we need to do to get an 8 from IGN? What do we need to do to get better than a 7 from GameSpot? Like they would actually ask this sort of thing. And I learned in a roundabout sort of way that that's actually kind of fun. So what's the nature of this league, Jaffy?
Yeah, like what's the process here? Like how does it actually work?
Does everybody pick a team of games or what?
Yeah, everybody picks a draft and they decide whether they think the game is going to hit or it's going to bomb in terms of reviews.
You win when you have hits or you win when you are accurate?
You win when you are accurate.
So you can be like, I think this game will do well, this game will do poor.
Yeah, you could be like, I bet the new WWE game is going to fail, and I bet Sifu is going to be good.
I think the one way you can go is if there's a AAA game and it has a woman in it or has a person of color in it, then you can do a good job of betting that there will be review bombs from capital G.
Oh, no, you're betting on professional critic reviews, not...
Oh, that's right. That's why it's Metacritic. That's why it's Metacritic.
Betting on Metacritic does have the user reviews, which tends to often sit in a position of comical disagreement with the critical establishment. Yeah. Though, I mean, what's the number one draft pick here? Like God of War, the new God of War is clearly going to get, you know, a 98 or whatever, right? Like, is that the sort of thing?
There's a new Horizon game, right, that's coming?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's put on that one. That one is going to be 91.
Yeah, 91, 92.
We should do this.
Let's do it. We should.
Yeah. Like, not right now, obviously, but you get a list of the AAA games. Tell your friend Wade we're not taking him to the cleaners. He doesn't need to learn how to swim. This is like a fun idea to try to guess that.
I came in a fifth out of a 12-person fantasy football league, so I am extremely mediocre at fantasy. I would give myself a 77 Metacritic of my fantasy skills.
Oh, excellent. Well, so what did the original Horizon Zero Dawn get on Metacritic? What was its Metacritic score?
Wait, let's guess, and we can actually check. This can be the proto.
Oh, yeah.
So here's my feeling going in, my reasoning behind my guess. I remember it came out on like the same day as Zelda, right? And I remember seeing a few tweets around the time Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda Breath of the Wild came out where someone was like, I gotta admit, I fell off of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I kind of like Horizon a little bit more. And then they were just kind of getting yelled down by people as fun haters, having a cancer of their joy gland or whatever. And I feel like now the time to say actually Horizon is better than Zelda is coming, and that the mainstream critical establishment is going to jump on it. I'm anticipating a 3 to 4 point bump on Horizon Forbidden West versus Horizon Zero Dawn. The original had a 91.
Yeah.
I was going to guess 90. Why'd you tell me?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were all going to guess was the plan.
Yeah, we were all going to guess right
that,
now.
That was what was just about to happen.
We're not all trying to guess. Let's try to guess, and then I don't know. What's your guess, Brandon? Doesn't matter.
You just said it was 91.
But that's my guess.
It's just your guess?
Oh, it's your guess.
I thought you were reading it.
Yeah, I'm not reading it. No, that was my guess, man.
Okay. My guess was 93.
93?
My guess is 88. I'm going
It's 89.
Low.
It's 89.
Hey! It's 89.
89 was actually my first
guess.
We're
both off by one, so like, who gets the whatever here?
I think Price is Right rules closest without going over.
So basically what I'm saying is Horizon Forbidden West is going to be a 93.
Mid-90s.
It's going to be 90. No, it's going to be a 94. Let's bump it up to 94. It's going to get widely appreciated more than Horizon Zero Dawn did.
You know what? I'm going to ask my friend Wade how he does this, and maybe we'll get a league going on the Insert Credit forums. How about that?
Let's do it.
That sounds good.
This is interesting, Alex, because you said 89. Now, if you were...
I said 88.
Oh, sorry, 88. If you were a game internal game analyst, like what Tim was, trying to guess what publication is going to, you know, award each game, I would have been fired, because the difference between an 88 and a 90 is, it might as well be the difference between an A plus and an F minus minus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. These people are bonkers about this stuff.
Yeah.
US gamers that gave Horizon Zero Dawn a score of a 50. And it says Horizon Zero Dawn is disappointing.
Whoa. Us gamer?
When it hit its rare strides, it only made me wish the rest of the game was as worthwhile. Wow.
Holy cow.
A lot of people were really harsh to Horizon Zero Dawn, looking over these critic scores.
You got the old classic hit the weak spot, enemy shooty shoot combat.
I liked it a lot, dude. I only just played it last year, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
All right. We have important things to discuss here. Which video game characters would you invite to a potluck dinner, and what would they bring?
The main character of the game, Days Gone, because that game was like Horizon Zero Dawn. Also very good. Also extremely good, despite...
He's intense. He's intense.
Oh, man. Yeah. Deacon St. John. Mm-hmm. His name rhymes with Horizon Zero Dawn and Days Gone. Wait, whoa, Days Gone has a 71 on Metacritic.
That is a vampire name. Deacon St. John? Isn't that the name of the main bad vampire in Blade?
Just said Stephen Dorff, dude. Dude, did you see True Detective Season 3? Stephen Dorff kills in that, man.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's so good.
If you're a vampire and you're named after a saint, do you get burned every time you say your name?
Exactly.
I'd say maybe.
Bingo!
So, okay, no, I wouldn't invite Deacon St. John, because Days Gone is just a very, very potluck sort of video game, but in a good way.
He could probably make some pretty decent ribs.
Yeah, some ribs. And he would bring them, and he would put them down and go, "Oh, brought some ribs." He would say it like that. He would be very exasperated about them. He would bring a big old pot of donkey ribs, probably. I think that's what they eat. Is that the meat they eat in Days Gone? They eat donkeys. Donkey ribs and beans.
Yeah.
You ever have donkey ribs, Chris Graff? You ever smoke those?
No. A donkey is pretty close to a horse, in my opinion.
A lot of people's opinions, actually. Not to bring it in.
That's the closest I have to a horse sound on here. I'm sorry.
Not to bring in the right answer or anything, but I'd invite Kukingu Mama because she could cook all the good stuff.
She is experienced with dinner with friends.
She knows how to bring stuff. She knows how to entertain the guests. She's very affirmational regarding how you're doing about stuff. And if you mess it up, she'll fix it.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring up Cooking Mama, which is why I asked, what would Cooking Mama bring?
Yeah, what one item? She's bringing one item, Jerry.
Yeah, the one item that she's going to bring for me is some, simple though it may be, she's going to bring some nice potato croquettes.
A croquet.
I like a good one. And I think Cooking Mama can get it right.
And she knows there are going to be some vegetarians here.
Yeah, she knows about it.
Having just eaten a Christmas dinner at my parents' house in Indianapolis, Indiana, I know that there was only one item on the table that I could eat, which is funny to somebody, I guess, and that was macaroni and cheese. So I want to co-opt this question to which video game character is most likely to bring a punch bowl full of macaroni and cheese?
Crash Bandicoot.
Really? Why him?
He just seems like he has that kind of chaos energy.
I think Bubsy would do it.
Oh, stop it. There's got to be a better character who would bring a big punch bowl full of macaroni and cheese.
Little Mac.
Oh, Little Mac sucks.
Good call. Just because I've had Halo on the mind, I would invite Master Chief, and this is why. Because
you just want to see his face?
Yeah, exactly. I'd also like to see how he handles regular size utensils with those giant metal gloves.
No, he probably gets like a brick of nutrients that he slams into his armor.
Yeah.
And he has like some sort of mail slot in his arm that he inserts like paper thin sheets of food.
Or maybe
into.
It's like one of those dune suits and it just recycles all of the nutrients over and over.
Oh, so yeah. He's just got turds in his blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever the phrase is. Yeah.
Well, there goes my
don't
answer.
We all, though, don't we all?
Yeah. I don't.
I would invite Marcus Fenix.
Nice.
And Dom from Gears of War 3 because they would bring their radishes that they grow on their big weird boat.
Nice.
Right?
Sure.
Everybody's played Gears of War, right?
I was thinking about your question with the who would bring the big bowl of mac and cheese. And
Who is it?
I don't know why I feel this way. I mean, this is what came to me is I feel like Bayonetta would care so little about this party that she would bring a big bunch of mac and cheese. She might like put some weird stuff in it or something, but she'd just like slam it on the table.
I think she'd bring Dixie cups.
Yeah, that might be right.
You know what the most depressing thing to bring to a potluck dinner would be? So it's like, what? I'm assuming I'm not allowed to bring food to this potluck dinner. So I would have to invite people that I expect to bring things I would want to eat.
Yes. So that's how this goes.
If Bayonetta came, she would bring a macaroni and cheese that has bacon and mushrooms in it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it would be completely disgusting. Don't invite Mario. Mario's the one guy to not invite. Mario would bring something just... He would bring like a mushroom salad.
He'd bring a big turnip, just a turnip raw.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
I got some good mushroom salad.
Each would at least bring a cake.
Mushroom salad sucks. Mushroom salad sucks.
Mushrooms are the worst.
I like them.
They made a whole kingdom out of it. Good luck.
Yeah, that's weird. It's just growing spontaneously out of the ground.
But they're marinated in the correct kind of...
Donkey urine? You marinate them in donkey urine? Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
I don't know. I've never prepared. I just know that I've had some decent mushroom salad.
Did I tell you about when I tried to get donkey milk in Croatia?
Ooh. Was it delicious?
Well, what happened was I was in a cafe and I was looking at the list of all the things.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't drink this, can't drink that. Oh, let me check this one out. And then it was like donkey milk. And I was like, I got to get that. I was with Swery and he's like, don't drink that. I was like, no, I have to. I've never had donkey milk.
Swery's telling you to not drink donkey milk?
He told me not to drink donkey milk.
What a loser.
Don't drink that.
And then
it's like 80,000 people on Twitter and then constantly posts pictures of himself with a cup of beer. And then tells a guy not to drink donkey milk.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Swery, you are the weakest link.
But then what happened was I called the lady over and I was like, I'm going to have this donkey milk. And she looks at me and kind of laughs and she's like, we don't have that.
Nice.
Winter storms, supply constraints.
Is that spelled, is it pronounced Dilk and spelled DLC? Or
yeah,
is that dog milk?
I always
Dunk. It's donkey milk.
Dulk. Is it Dulk?
Jeffy, here's my final answer. My final answer is I would invite all the demons from Shin Megami Tensei 5 and I'd let them bring whatever they want.
I would invite the main characters of the game Ninja Warriors because they would bring Daddy Mulk.
That's right.
Nice.
Which is close enough to Brandon's donkey milk.
Yeah,
I believe. That's what I would do. Ah, Ninja Warriors, dude.
I got a question. What the hell is Square Enix's problem?
What are we talking about?
What is their problem?
Oh, is it the NFT thing? The president with his little letter about playing games for fun?
That was pretty dumb.
That was kind of deranged. However, at the same time, that's just kind of like what a... the CEO of a large Japanese corporation kind of, and a lot of it was the translation was just ridiculous.
He really like went into it though. Like he went in depth.
It was cold and weird.
Like EA might be like, yeah, NFTs. They say like a sentence about it. And then this
We're
is like
chill with them. It's
this is paragraphs like of
it's the future
to play, to contribute.
We know you don't like it, but
yeah, it's so wild. We know you don't like
zero evidence that players like it. The only people that like crypto stuff are crypto people.
Well, also investors who tend to be crypto people, and their stock did go up after that dumb announcement. So, you know, it had the desired effect.
Mission accomplished.
I would say that's what's up with Square Enix, is they wanted to get a little cash boost.
It's horrible.
And they got it. And like, if anyone wants to feel a little better about it, they pretty much do something like this every year where they're like, here's what we're going to do. And it's usually something that's like, what? Or something you don't like. And then they don't really do it, or they do half of one thing about it. But this one, they might. I don't know.
Well, do you remember back in like 2004, 2005, we would be going to that Tokyo Game Show, right? We were always at that thing. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We were smoking a lot of weed, so we don't really remember most of
it. It's hard to remember.
We were there, right? Every Japanese video game company would get up and they'd be like, the future is mobile games.
Right.
Soon everyone will have a very good mobile phone and they will be playing mobile games. So we've decided to spend more time and more money developing mobile games. And I remember always whenever asked to write or commentate on or about these things, I would speak quite derisively about mobile games, demonstrate zero confidence in the future of mobile games. However, at the time, it was all flip phones, right? There were no iPhones yet or anything. And then eventually what happened, Square Enix has a couple disgusting, hideous ports of Final Fantasy and a really ugly, like vertically stretched Dragon Quest that you can play with one hand on your iPhone as though, you know, Why do all of the mobile games still have to be played with one hand? Can't we all just hold our phones in two hands now? Can't we get over the one-hand dream? It's not like your phone isn't enormous. Your phone doesn't have to be this tiny little thing. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like it's probably going to be like that. They're going to have some stupid NFT thing, and it's not going to penetrate into the real games. Real games will always prevail.
Like, I hear people making comparisons between NFTs and the and blockchain related games, and comparing the negativity that like microtransactions or like mobile games might have originally encountered when they first came out. I don't think they're comparable. Like, they were negative. Like, there was a negative sentiment around mobile and microtransactions, but there was still like game design that could be.
There were areas to explore.
Yeah, yeah, and this is an area that it's putting the cart before the horse. It's like, why does this exist? How is this technology able to serve game design? How is this technology able to serve business models? Like, and I think that NFTs don't have an answer for that, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. The people that are investing in NFTs are just hoping to get in on the gold rush and get out.
They're all rich boys having fun role-playing more money. That's all it is. It's 100% cart, 0% horse. There will never be a horse either behind or in front of this cart.
No.
Period.
At best, there's a donkey behind it.
You're not getting any donkey milk out of it.
There's a donkey behind it. It has two broken legs. It is covered in its own diarrhea. And there's just blood just pouring out of its mouth.
It's like Master Chief.
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel bad for that donkey. I want to say that.
Diarrhea in his own blood. This donkey, he didn't ask to be there.
No.
These rich boys beat him.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I'm sorry. The rich boys, man. It's all rich boys.
Did anyone watch the Cryptoland?
I did not want to.
I watched part of it. I'm kind of obsessed with it. Like,
I love ignoring that stuff.
Although that one is kind of funny because it's like it's talking about like buy your exclusive acreage on an island where only crypto bros will be and exclusive clubs and stuff.
Have fun there, dude.
In the Bitcoin Hills, I think they call it.
Man, the Bitcoin Hills? What?
I only saw like maybe two people of color. Pretty close to real life, this island.
Yeah. The cool thing about that island is that it's fun to know that there's an exclusive place for people not like you who you don't want to be like.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that cool? It's nice to know they have somewhere to go. It's nice to know they have somewhere to be away from me. It's kind of like frat houses when you're in college. I'm like, I love that there's these.
You stay there.
Yeah. That's so great. There's a guy like bench pressing on the lawn of the frat house. I'm like, just stay over there. It's cool, man. I'm loving that that guy's over there. And I'm over here with my Slurpee in my hand on the other side of the street.
It is incredibly similar in that those people are 100% sure that they're the coolest folks that ever existed, and that
I know
everyone wants to be like them or with them, but the majority of us are like, yeah, you go ahead and stay in your little house vomiting on each other.
Talking about broken dreams, the exact opposite of a broken dream was in college realizing that 99% of people who think they're cool only think they're cool because they're definitely not, and they have nothing else. Speaking of all of that, at the end of the day, I wouldn't mind a yacht. You know?
I mean, I would, if you're going to give it to me, I would take it.
I'd take a yacht.
What would you name your yacht?
I'd name my yacht Journey to Silliest.
Bullet Witch.
I think they ask this question every year.
It'd be Donkey Milk.
Daddy Milk.
Daddy Milk.
Dadkey Milk. I don't know.
Speaking of microtransactions, design an emote for an online multiplayer game like Fortnite or Destiny.
Oh, dude, Macarena. That's a joke. My little brother was playing Fortnite in my parents' living room. And because him, his girlfriend, and his son, first of all, it's very heartwarming that they're all in the same room together staring at Nintendo Switches. One of them was playing on the TV. The others were playing handheld. My brother, while they were configurating their match and setting up their squad, my brother was showing me all of the stuff he has in there. He's got both Boba Fett and The Mandalorian, right? Which is very comical to me, and it kind of suddenly made me think, oh, wait, there's a Boba Fett show and The Mandalorian show? He was walking me through all of his emotes and dances, and he was like, look at this, dude. I got Gangnam Style. And I was like, oh, wow. Good for you. And I was like, yeah, do you also have the Macarena? And he's like, yeah. And he just launches the Macarena. Oh, I'm like, no. What's going on here? I like derisively said, do you also have the Macarena?
How quickly did he pull it up? Was it programmed onto his D-pad or something? He's like, yeah,
it took him like 3 seconds. He's like, look, you know, there's always been this thing with my brother being a millennial and me being a late Gen X, right? Where my little brother always kind of pauses about 10 seconds before answering a question, you know? So I didn't take it as any perceptible pause, though the second I mentioned the Macarena, he was on it, and then he had found it so quickly and fired it off so that as it was going, like, it had already started 6 milliseconds before he said, yeah,
check this out. Hey, Macarena.
Yeah, and I was like, no, it's just in there. So in other words, I don't know, man, you want me to design an emote or something for a game?
Yeah, new one.
I don't know. I don't think there's any left to do. I think Fortnite took all of them.
I can think of
Fortnite
one.
Fortnite has black holed up every single emote possible. It's just sucked in there.
I know one that you could get for like $2. You could probably charge $2 for it and make millions of dollars. Someone taking a dump animation, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would make a lot $2 of money. Yes. That,
unfortunately, it would make a lot of money. People would be using it constantly.
Would there be actual turds spraying out of the avatar?
I think you couldn't do that. You wouldn't be able to get away with it. I'm trying to make it real.
You can have a video game where you shoot people in the head, but you can't have a video game where you spray.
If it's not brown, you can get around the ratings.
Make it make it pink. Make it ice cream. Yeah.
Ooh, soft serve.
Yeah, make it strawberry ice cream.
That is so lowbrow, Brandon.
Yeah, well,
that's not as lowbrow as the Macarena, though.
I'm just trying to make money here.
Man, Gangnam Style and the Macarena together, unstoppable.
Yeah.
You're supposed to kill a guy and then dance the Macarena over his corpse.
Yeah. There's nothing more demoralizing.
Fortnite is its own incredible sort of grimness. You know, in some way, we have Fortnite to blame for NFTs. That's a joke. I don't know where I can't really connect to those statements, though. I'm going to leave them out there.
Well, I get where you're coming from on it, actually.
What about Valdo's end poses? Like, that'd be a fun demote. He's all kind of wormy and stuff.
He's just like all kind of worm walking, like flipping, like going on his back. And
yeah,
he's just kind of all
turns into a backward circle. Just spins.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
God, Valdo rules, dude. Man, welcome back to the stage of history.
A story eternally told.
A tale of souls and swords.
Bayonetta's dance before she says avocado.
Oh, yeah. Bayonetta's avocado would be a great one.
Yeah, her avocado dance would be great.
Oh, yeah.
How about the sonic finger wag?
Oh, yeah. With the sonic music playing as you do it.
Yep.
A-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom.
Yep.
Because in Fortnite now, they actually play the music with the dances. Did you know this? So it actually plays the Macarena music.
I have no way to verify this.
They do. Like, it actually plays the Macarena music. It actually plays Gangnam Style. They, like, licensed all of this stuff after they got called out and yelled at for, like, appropriating dances popularized by other people without credit and whatever. They appropriately credited all the stuff now.
I mean, they have the money for it.
Yeah, they got more than that.
How about somebody taking a gigantic drag off of a huge electronic vape thing?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then they break into the Macarena.
Over at Fortnite, they have enough money to buy like 100 hamburgers for like every person in America per day for like 28 years. I did the numbers earlier.
Donkey burgers?
Yeah. Donkey burgers. Man, I don't eat meat, but I would, if I knew like the sort of a stunted horse had died, maybe I would go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, stunted horse meat.
That's what a donkey is.
If you could drink milk from any animal that you haven't drunk milk from before, what would it be?
Donkey milk. Okay, all of this donkey milk talk is a little bit...
It's making me thirsty.
It's making me thirsty. It's fun to have this conversation.
Donkey milk's making me thirsty.
Making me thirsty.
Though it's perhaps unbearable to listen to for the listener. It's usually one of those things where it feels like if you're not in on the joke, and the odd thing is the audience is in on the joke.
We formed the joke right here.
The joke has been explained. Yeah. So I feel like it's one of those that has a tendency to go from like 11 to 12 a little too quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's sophisticated.
Yeah. You know, actually, I was going to say
whale milk.
The more I try to talk myself out of it, the more I think it's actually a pretty good joke.
How would you even milk a whale?
Underwater, Chris Kraft. My God. they have airtight valves.
Use your brain.
Take a little the hose off of your scuba, right?
Oh, yeah.
Off of the air tank and pop it on there. Yeah. And then you'd be bursting in no time.
Seriously, you would be. I mean,
how did you not think of that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to identify which whale is lactating too. There's that.
You ask them if they're lactating.
Okay.
Yeah, whales can talk, unlike donkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whales have complicated language. Donkeys just have.
It would be much easier to get consent from a whale than a donkey.
Donkeys sound like a whale that is out of water, like that. Yeah.
So I got this core.com question here. Where can I order whale milk online? ?
Oh my god!
The top answer from Sandy Campbell. I would think twice before adding whale milk to my coffee. If I had to guess, whale milk is probably available somewhere in Japan for $900 a glass because they still have a whaling industry.
Industry kills whales. They don't milk whales.
Yeah, murdering a whale.
You murder the whale for the milk.
And milking a whale are two completely different things.
Yeah, come on.
Stephen McNally or whatever his name was. Crikey.
So... speculation on Grand Theft Auto 6, a game which may never happen, places the series back in Florida. If this does happen without Rockstar collapsing under its own weight, it will probably include areas like Central and North Florida. So what would a Rockstar take on an Orlando theme park be like?
Shoot.
It would probably be extra crass in its commercialism, I think, which would be ironic for itself. So, by the way, I posted a picture of a whale getting milk in the chat.
No. Oh, that's pretty good.
This is everything I wanted.
Okay, guys.
Excellent work.
So anyway.
Excellent work.
Sorry. That came from that Quora question.
Oh, great. You know, we usually use a video game screenshot for the banner image for the episode.
I don't know.
This is the one.
Oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it, mate.
Yeah, theme
Grand
park,
Theft Auto I... 6. Grand Theft Auto 6, we're saying?
The game that may never happen.
They'll have a roller coaster shaped like a freaking Glock.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'd be alligators.
There sure would be alligators.
There'd be alligators. There'd be
the roller coaster is just manatees. Shaped like a gun. Oh, that's good, KG. That's good stuff. That's the stupidest thing.
That is stupid. Jesus. This is really stupid.
You having a good time?
Welcome to the stupidest episode.
Esper's going to have a heck of a time on this one.
That was good. Oh, do you want to know something really interesting? Is that was 100% fake laughter. I'm sorry. I don't really understand why that's funny.
I
don't understand why that's funny. That's a joke. Of course, that was a real laugh. Or was it?
Okay.
You tell me in the chat. Okay, so a roller coaster shaped like a gun is like probably something that some rock star person would throw out like during the meeting. Like, we got to have a theme park because there's got to be missions at the theme park. It's like, oh, if there's a roller coaster shaped like a gun, like the R in Sopranos. I mean, that's
stupid. It's going to be shaped like genitals.
Oh, yeah. Like shaped like a butt. With boobs and then balls and a penis.
Right.
Oh, and instead of like the teacups at Disney, they're hot coffee mugs that you spin around in.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hot coffee.
Oh, yeah. Throwback.
Get it.
Man.
Yeah, hot coffee mugs.
I need to get on this design team.
Yeah.
What's the equivalent of a rock star Imagineer?
Okay, so what are the popular rides at Disney World? What's like what would you like? I've never been to Disney World.
Space Mountain.
Okay,
it's a small world.
They have the Matterhorn there.
Man, would there be like an It's a Small World, but it's like about racism, but in like a really crass way, where it's like, oh, this is we're showing how racist America is with our It's a Small World exhibit. And there's like a mission in there where you have to like probably murder a guy.
But the exhibit itself is racist.
Yeah, but it's in a way that Grand Theft Auto's producers are satirizing it or whatever. Would that be something?
So it's like what BioShock Infinite did, right?
Yeah. There's the Jungle Cruise.
Bingo! Yeah, Jungle Cruise. By the way, did anybody watch that movie?
Did you?
I did.
Was it on Fandango?
We had to get Disney Plus over the holidays so that we could watch a version of the Christmas Carol with my mom.
Oh,
did you watch the CGI one with Jim Carrey?
No, we watched the Muppet Christmas Carol. But anyway,
it's a good one. MCC.
Jungle Cruise kind of blew my mind because in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, is this Metallica?
Was and, it?
It was. The song Nothing Else Matters was turned into like when they were talking about the Spanish galleons and stuff, they sort of turned it into like a Spanish-esque sounding song. And and then it turned into some other song, but they kept bringing back the intro refrain from Metallica's Nothing Else Matters. And I was like, man,
that kind of rules.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah, I like that.
You know what? Can I just say I'm a little tired of Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Oh, DTIJ.
I think I've suddenly gotten tired of him.
He is in a lot of things.
Get it.
He's always on Instagram. I follow him on Instagram. He's one of the most followed celebrities in the history of the world on Instagram. He always posts like, he's like, I'm driving to this new town. I'm here in Utah. We're going to meet this guy, Jose. Jose is a personal trainer. He is a volunteer at a battered women's shelter. He is a preacher at his local church. He's got five beautiful daughters and six beautiful sons or whatever. And it's like, today we're going to do a little something for him because he's always given so much to his community. We're going to give him a truck. I'm going to give him my truck. And then the guy's just weeping. The Rock gives him a truck. And The Rock goes, well, how am I going to get home now? Hey, can you give me a ride, Marsha, or whatever his assistant's name is, right? So on Christmas this year, he gave his mom a Cadillac in a similar video. My mom, you mean so much to me. My mom has just raised me my whole life. My mom is one. My mom is beautiful. I'm going to give her a Cadillac. The guy's a billionaire. He's given a Cadillac because that is, a normal person's idea of an expensive car.
Yeah, it's like you buying somebody a Big Mac.
He already built his mom like a $10 million mansion and didn't make an Instagram video about that.
I think you should unfollow him. Why are you following him on Instagram?
Oh, I did. This is what I said. I unfollowed him. I unfollowed him just like...
Did you leave a comment saying why?
No, because he has about 8,000 comments every minute.
He reads
them.
So
it's like, I'm like, he's giving his mom a Cadillac? It's just weird. It's very clearly like, is it a commercial for Cadillac? Or is it a commercial for The Rock? Or is it both? Like, where's all the money here? And I don't know. Social media is
something
just
to think about.
It's gobbled the world.
Yeah.
But Grand Theft Auto 6, roller coaster shaped like a Glock, and then a Spanish galleon where you
and the riders like just shoot out of the barrel. The riders shoot out of the barrel.
You shoot whale milk from guns on. There's a whale milk cannon.
The
on
only
a Spanish
refreshment
galleon.
There is whale milk.
All the people at Stafford are dressed like alligators.
Yeah,
exactly. I think we solved it. We'll be right back after a quick break.
They've closed SeaWorld and they're literally serving burgers from that are made from the dolphins.
You know what this lady is? She's probably getting milk for the whale baby and not for her.
Yeah,
almost certainly.
No, she's gonna take a taste,
little taste for daddy.
It's not that weird. We drink cow milk.
Yeah,
right. We eat cheese.
We would drink whale milk if it was more accessible. Yeah,
I think if it was more socially acceptable. I think whale cheese would be good, right?
Why not? Yeah.
Brandon, you like goat cheese, right?
I do.
Sheep cheese. Mm-hmm. Donkey cheese is probably pretty good.
Probably all right.
Okay, so my question. Well, during the break, we were talking a little bit about COVID-19, also known as SARS-CoV-2, also known as the coronavirus. We've been talking about how it still is here, and it still is a thing, and it's probably going to suck for a real long time. It was announced that E3 has again been not really canceled, but sort of soft canceled, moved to online only. So let's just talk about E3. I see Chris Graft is in the chat. Chris Graft is a guy I associate very much with E3. He's one of my number one E3 guys. Right. Yeah. So why don't we all just talk about E3 for 6 minutes? Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. We're E3 bros.
Nope. I'm going to say number one, man, I really want to go to E3. Am I the only one here who would just love to go to E3?
Would like to go.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a real good time? E3 2023, baby. We're all there. Jaffe, you're coming with us.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like I was just talking about like upcoming conferences. I want to go to see friends that I haven't seen forever. Like it's kind of like an excuse, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, all of the video game news and announcements, those come a distant second.
Yeah.
Well, also people talk about E3 derisively and how it's the big consumer focused thing and there's nothing about business anymore. But like I signed my last two games at E3 publishers. I do business there because of that mindset other people have where it's like, it's just a big party. There's nothing you could do. I don't know. I did well. I like it.
That's good.
I just like to go to Los Angeles and hang out with my friends that are there and do it around E3. That's fun. It's fun.
I'm going to subtract business from it. And I'm just going to say I've been goblinized. You know, we've all been goblinized here to a certain degree. Who amongst us has not suffered a goblinization on this earth in this pair of centuries we've straddled our lives across? I've been goblinized to a point where E3 is just cool. I don't know. It's just I go there. I go have food. I go to ugly parties.
Yeah.
Just terrible parties.
I'm still in the media. So it just feels like there's a lot of work that has to go along with all the hangout.
But that work is kind of fun work.
It's not like I would, you know, all that said, I would.
It's all interviews and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I would still totally go.
The last time I went to E3 2019, and I made a big video about it, a video that continues to get hits because of how I said at the beginning, this is the end of the last E3 of all time. And now it's like, it's now three times.
You were kind of right.
There's been three, let's face it, E3 has been moved to online only. It's a really mealy-mouthed way of saying E3's canceled, right?
Yeah.
Like clearly,
yeah.
E3's canceled.
Hey, Tim, remember when we were mobbed in the convertible?
E3 2010, yeah.
Yeah.
E3 2010, Jerry. I remember that
one. That was a perfect storm of giant sporting events to create.
Yeah.
Like, Lakers just won the finals, yeah.
Lakers won, and then Mexico won the World Cup, and E3 was going on. So it was just like a bunch of like dorks like us down there amid the fevered sports fans who were either really excited.
Sports fans are just as bad as gamers, right?
Yeah.
Let's not even bother dividing them. They're about the same. We're all goblins. We've all been goblinized by entertainment.
I told you all right. about that weird, that the thing that I saw last E3 where a dude just collapsed on the ground in front of me outside of the convention center. And I
partied sort of, out on video games.
I sort of Phoenix righted what the problem was. He was walking around. He was looking a little weird, and then he just collapsed. And then some
he
people
goblinized.
Scattered and ran away. Other people ran up to him. They're like, "What do I do?" And I told someone to call the paramedics.
Is it like 120 degrees out?
But what happened mm-hmm. was he was holding an orange. He was holding a bottle of water. And I looked at his arm, and he had a little Band-Aid on there with some gauze under it. I was like, and there's a giving blood tent like a block away. I was like,
the
gave
doctor
blood.
Was his mother.
He anemia'd himself out there, but he just straight collapsed and cracked his head on the pavement. That dude.
Oh jeez. Yeah. I should have given him like a chocolate chip cookie, not an orange.
Indeed.
I've pasted into the Discord chat the tweet that informed me E3 had been canceled again. We need not read this tweet out loud or address who it is. It was a very comical way to have the news delivered to me.
Yeah.
I forgot about this guy.
Not even comical. I'm going to say it. Maybe the lamest way possible to receive this news is this tweet that I just linked in the chat. Everybody else, just go ahead and guess what you think it was.
What's weird though, like this is probably how the ESA found out about it too.
Nice.
Yeah, man, I really do just want to go to the E3 and then just, you know, like me and Chris Graft smoking weed at the Hooters across the street, right?
A huge Hooters.
Me and Chris Graft smoking weed at 7-Eleven downtown. All these memories. Me and Chris Graft smoking weed at the Hotel Figueroa.
Smoking a doobie. Yeah.
Me and Chris Graft smoking weed at the Sega booth.
Chris Graft, do you remember that that time we were at the 7-Eleven downtown? I think you were there. And
I love that 7. I love those.
A homeless man came up to me and gave me a beer because he said it looks like you need it.
Yeah.
To me. God, that
really
rules.
Nice of him. Yeah.
And then I talked to him for an hour.
Yeah.
We had a good conversation.
He was goblinized. He was goblinized, man.
Speaking of goblins, it's time for us to go to the dirt bag.
Oh, the dirt bag. I'm going to drop something in the chat real quick. Just a photo from E3. I'm dropping a photo from E3 that I just, for some reason, it's on my phone. I don't know why. And that's a photo from me at E3 2004.
That's Tim and Yuji Naka.
Aw.
Yeah, it's me and Yuji Naka. Proof that I know Yuji Naka, that we're real good friends. I believe I've told this story about 8,000 million billion times. I just said hello to Yuji Naka, and then me and him just walked around for like an hour together. It was very strange.
And you got your River King cosplay on.
You got, well, I found that hat on the ground and I just put it on, like, no joke.
Nice.
Anyway, I'm now, where'd the photo go? It's gone now. Ooh, it's disappeared.
I already right click saved it.
No, you didn't. You liar. Everybody always says something like
you
that.
Stole
when they
his
just, I already right click saved it, so you might as well drop it back in there so I can right click save it. I mean, anyway, let's go to the dirt bag. Get me in there, Jerry.
Yeah, let's go to the dirt bag.
I kind of expected that question to introduce us talking about the coronavirus instead of E3. I predicted it was going to go toward E3, but I was hoping it would go more toward the coronavirus. Looks like real stuff misses out again in favor of good old video games. So yeah, we can go to the dirt bag now.
This week's question comes from Mike Larkey, who asks, in 2022, A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh has entered the public domain. What's your best game pitch using the characters and world from this story?
Well, interestingly, I want everyone to know that Disney's Winnie the Pooh is not public domain. You can't use the Disney character designs.
Correct.
So you have to invent your own character design. So in other words, we already know a guy who'd do us a weird one. That's Tetsuya Nomura. He already has Winnie the Pooh in the Kingdom Hearts games.
That's right.
Let's let him just redesign them. Use that as a jumping off point.
I'm going in a different direction. I would go for a Boku no Natsu Yasumi kind of a game.
I know that game.
The Friday Monsters. You're hanging out in a space. You're going around. You're doing nice things on a summer vacation. I'm not going to be because I've seen a lot of things about people doing like a, you know, like a Hail Satan style, Summon the Devil, Winnie the Pooh extreme. But I think it would actually be very nice to have a really good, correct to the world, nice hangout Winnie the Pooh game. I'd probably play that.
It would probably be like as successful as the remake of Ben-Hur that was more based on the book than the original movie was.
Yeah.
People like me who have read the book and You know, the character Barabbas is very important in the book Ben-Hur. Why is he not in the movie? And then the new Ben-Hur movie comes out and the screenwriters are talking like, it's got Barabbas in it. We've restored the character of Barabbas. Barabbas is back at his chief importance.
Barabbas is back.
Barabbas is Baracus, and he
Barabbas
is... Barabbas'
fever is sweeping the nation.
Yeah, so it's like, I just remember seeing him being the screenwriters being like that, and me going, You know, I saw them say that, and I was like...
Nice.
And then, you know, and then the movie comes out, and it's like, who asked for this? That's what people would say about Brandon's Winnie the Pooh game. Who asked for this? And the answer is like, I don't know, cool people. I don't know. People who actually like the thing. I don't know. People would be like, it looks a little bit too different from Disney's. And it's like, that would be the primary problem, is that you can't use Disney's character designs.
Yeah.
You have to make your own.
All you have to do is take the shirt off and then put pants on, reverse it. And then this clearly differentiated. Yeah.
That would be Winnie the Hoop. Just,
oh my God, dude, we already know a bear who has no shirt but pants. And he goes like that. We're talking Banjo-Kazooie, dude.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Rares Winnie the Pooh, dude.
Winnie the Banjo.
Oh no. It would just look exactly like Banjo-Kazooie.
And Piglet the Kazooie.
No, I don't think so. I think we would go for more like the natural tubbiness, you know, this
Christopher Robin would look like Gruntilda. God, I hate Banjo-Kazooie so much. I can't stand that stupid
I'm going to reskin the Hook game for Sega CD with Christopher Robin, whatever. What's his name again? Christopher Robin?
Christopher Robin, you got it.
Christopher Robin.
Christopher Robin. And Winnie the Pooh is in there somewhere. You got to save Winnie the Pooh from...
Oh, you're talking about Christopher Robin Williams now.
That's right. The Fisher King.
Man, how many characters in Winnie the Pooh just like have an analog? The bottles, the mole.
There's a gopher in Winnie the Pooh, yeah.
I like that. Yeah, there's a gopher. Talks like this all the time. Yeah. I like to dig holes.
He's kind of an Eeyore-like character in Banjo-Kazooie as well. So it's
oh
like
my gosh, there's a donkey in it.
Is there? Wait, in Winnie the Pooh, is Eeyore a donkey?
Eeyore's a donkey, right?
Eeyore's a donkey. Yeah.
Oh, interesting, because I was having a conversation with someone just yesterday.
Were you?
About what Eeyore's mother's milk tastes like. Oh, God, I was waiting for somebody to just bring up the donkey connection. So here we go. To the team behind Harvest Moon or Story of Seasons now. Don't play Harvest Moon if you're listening to this. Do not be duped into purchasing a Harvest Moon game. They are not real. They have been lobotomized. They are not made by the original creators. What you want is Story of Seasons. That's the real Harvest Moon. They just don't have the brand name anymore. They had it took from them.
Is Winnie the Pooh in Fortnite, by the way?
Yes, and he's huge. He's like 18 feet tall, and you press a button and he like sings a Drake song.
Yeah,
does Drake have a song concert to sing? Or he puts on a concert. Anyway, so the Winnie the Pooh game is made the original makers of Harvest Moon. Story of Seasons, Winnie the Pooh, and you play as Christopher Robin, and you're growing carrots.
Yeah,
and you've got beehives with honey, and Winnie the Pooh's just hanging out there.
Yeah, seems good.
And you get milk Eeyore's mom.
You harvest honey.
Yeah, milk the donkey.
You get milk Eeyore's mom, dude.
All right.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're all anime style as well.
Well.
Yeah, Tetsuya Nomura.
Winnie the Pooh's a really hot girl, too. Not a bear.
Winnie the Hooters.
Well, it's time for us to get out of 100 Acre Wood and head on over to Violence Island. It's been too long.
All right.
This is one of our favorite segments where we take listener submitted matchups between different video game or video game adjacent figures and determine who would win in a fight between them until one champion is crowned.
God, it better be every donkey from video game history.
No, I did not anticipate that. Our first match is a three-way match: Bomberman versus Bomb Man versus Mighty Bomb Jack.
Oh, those three dirtbags. Well, Bomberman can only move from a top-down perspective.
That's not true. Bomberman Hero.
Bomberman Hero sucks.
Got good
Nobody
music.
Knows that one.
Got good music.
That's true.
Also, Bomberman can equip an invincibility vest. He can get faster with fast roller skate shoes. He can ride a kangaroo. He can make his flames longer by running into other flame-looking things. He can eventually get a whole bunch of bombs to throw. So I feel like he at least beats Bomberman, who's just got the one thing he can do.
Yeah, like Bomberman also, if he gets blown up once, if you have the mad bomber mode on, he can ride around a little car. He kind of like resurrects himself and he can get back in the game. He has like multiple chances.
Oh yeah, also, here's another thing. In Saturn Bomberman, when you die, you just spawn to the outside of the playing field in a little thing and you throw bombs in there still. So even if he died, he could win.
I don't like that. I don't like that attempt to let losers participate.
You can turn it off, but I like that.
Mighty Bomb Jack can jump like the height of the screen, though. He's got a very high jump.
Yeah. Mighty Bomb Jack looks like a loser.
True.
That's all
true.
I have to say. Bomb Man from Mega Man flat out sucks.
Yeah,
so let's just say Bomb Man is basically dead.
Bomberman is the guy.
I think Bomberman, he's got the most diverse set of skills.
Yeah.
The kangaroo thing, the roller skates, etc. All these other guys, they would find the little flame power-ups, and they wouldn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. Our next match is Minecraft Steve versus a cubivore.
Oh, one cubivore.
Well, the cubivores eat cubes.
Yeah.
That's all they eat. And Steve's made of them. So, I mean
they're
case
basically
closed.
like that's what they eat.
I mean,
that's all
like
they
Steve,
eat.
Steve would be able to fight off the cubivore with a pickaxe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the diamond sword, you know. Mm-hmm.
He can like build stuff super fast.
And he could build. I don't know if he could. Can he build it faster than he can? See, the thing is, cubivores don't do a whole lot, do they?
and they operate purely on animal instinct, whereas Minecraft Steve has a more evolved mind.
The intelligence of a man.
Yeah, can forge defenses and tools and.
Yes, the body of a cube and the brain of a man.
And the brain of a man.
Cube, like Steve from Minecraft, can make a hole designed purely to oppress the cubivore.
Yeah.
Whereas the cubivore just kind of lives in its world. Did anybody here play cubivore? I played cubivore. Did anybody here play it?
No.
It's pretty cool.
I might have. It was so long ago. I know I definitely looked at the box when I worked at GameStop, so.
Do you know what the Japanese title is, Brandon? It has a really good Japanese title.
I don't remember.
It's called Dobutsu Bancho,
which is a pretty good name.
Bancho just means kind of like chief or like leader of a group, and then Dobutsu is animal. So it's like leader of the animal group. It's a neat game. That's all I have.
King of the Beasts.
Yeah.
But I think Steve is our winner.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, because he can build a system, unfortunately, to impress.
Our next match is Manic Miner versus Mr. Driller.
Oh, heck oh. Heck oh.
Yeah.
Mr. Driller can escape from anybody because he can just go straight down in the ground.
I just have to by default go with Mr. Driller as well. Yeah.
Manic Miner's a bit of a loser.
The Manic Miner doesn't need air to go into the mines, but at the same time, I'm not convinced that what Manic Miner is doing is as complicated and difficult as what Mr. Driller is doing.
No, it's not.
So let's say Mr. Driller could call on his Uncle Dig Dug as well to help.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Mr. Driller's real name is Hody Taizo. Did you know that?
No.
His name is Hody Taizo.
I have no reason to disbelieve you.
If you say Hody Taizo, it means I want to drill.
Oh,
I
yeah, nice.
Dig.
Nice.
Yeah.
Our next match in this... preliminary is 10 chows versus 10 chocobos.
Chows are they're little mystical creatures. Yeah,
they're very small compared to a chocobo.
Chocobo has talons and stuff, like descended from dinosaurs.
And they're also kind of stupid, though.
They're stupid. Chows are smarter.
Not as smart as a cube with a human brain, but
chows can run on like beach balls.
You can raise a chow on a VMU, but you can raise a chocobo on a pocket station.
That's true.
So,
six
I guess that's even.
Because of the VMU and the pocket station.
No ground gained there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
The VMU is like, what if the pocket station was mandatory? That was like their whole, Sega's whole thing. and then they died.
Yeah.
They lost.
Yeah, because of.
Yeah, what if it was mandatory? We would die.
What if it was mandatory? Oh, it looks like it would just be too expensive and extravagant, and it would put people off.
They lost because they were too cool.
Exactly. They got lost because they were too cool. People like stuff that sucks.
That's right.
They don't like stuff that's cool. So
find that to be true.
So does that mean Chocobo wins?
I guess. Chocobo sucks too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the Chocobos. And they got some magical like they can do some magical thingies when you summon them as a summon in Final Fantasy 15, etc.
10 Chocobos though, how many of them die in this
That's a good question. How many Chocobos go on to the next round?
6? 7?
I don't think they can take out 4 Chocobos. I think 8 Chocobos.
8? Okay, that's good.
All right.
Yeah. All right, semifinals. Bomberman versus Minecraft Steve.
Shoot.
I mean,
I would think Bomberman. Yeah, he's got, you know, we talked about the skates and stuff. I think, and then Bomberman, like, he blows bricks up.
Yeah,
you know?
That's his whole thing.
He too has the mind of a man.
Steve could try to build stuff around him. He'd just blow it up.
He's a robot. Bomberman's a robot. But Bomberman's a cyborg. But also, at least his name is honest. Why was Steve in Minecraft? What a stupid name.
Yeah, it's bad. True.
Isn't it because the stupid guy who made the game was asked what his name was, and he just replied with a dumb name off the top of his head? I don't know, Steve.
Yes.
That sounds right.
And then he's announced as a character in Smash Bros. That's stupid. At least Bomberman is like born with the purpose of knowing who he is.
Yeah.
He knows he's Bomberman. Minecraft guy could have just been Miner Man or whatever. Instead, he has this name, which makes him think he's some sort of creative individual with some kind of unique spirit when he's not. He's just some idiot. He has this name, which makes him think he should try to make something of himself. Yeah. His mind is too clouded.
Been named Blocko.
Whereas Bomberman is, he knows what he is, and he's going to kill.
That sense of purpose is going to drive him to the finals.
Yeah, so Blocko is taking a walk off the Daco, and he's dead.
Blown into little voxels.
Mr. Driller versus 8 Chocobos.
Shoot.
I mean, the numbers. Could you imagine being swarmed by 8 large descendants of dinosaurs?
And we know Chocobos can dig.
Yeah,
that's true.
They dig deep. And they just kind of rip through the ground.
They could chase him down.
Yeah, they would get him.
Talk about digging your own grave, you know?
Yeah.
There's that one part in Final Fantasy VIII where the Chocobo digs into the Earth's cool up the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Oh.
I made that part up.
Yeah,
that's real good. I'm looking at it in Wikipedia right now. You remember that part? Actually, it's really in there. No, just kidding. It's not.
Oh, I forgot we got to do one fake Wikipedia lookup per episode. That's a forgotten rule of this show.
It's the funnest part, yeah. I'll do one later, just because we can't point it out. I'll do one later and see if you, the listener, can spot it.
Is there any reason Mr. Driller would be able to resist an assault by 8 chocobos at once from all directions?
What's he going to do to try to fight them? Is he going to try to dig a big hole so the ground collapses out from under them?
Yeah, he's going to try to dig a deep hole so that it crushes on top of them, but not on top of him.
They're too slippery, man. Birds is slip, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're slippery as heck. So it's like, even if he tries to knock the ground out from under them, and he knocks something on top of them, they're just going to like go there. I don't know, man. They're slippery as heck.
Yeah.
They're slippery as heck.
Does he manage to take any chocobos out with him?
2 of them, probably.
Yeah. We're down to 6.
But he has to use his sidearm.
It'd be gruesome. Yeah.
He has a gun.
So our final match this week is Bomberman versus 6 Chocobos.
Oh, crikey.
I mean, Bomberman rides animals like Chocobos.
He is a rideable animal connoisseur.
He has a rideable animal.
He is a connoisseur of rideable animals.
I think Bomberman would win, yeah. He'd be running away, and the Chocobos would be chasing him. He has an area of effect weapon. He's just just like dropping those babies off, like, and the chocobos are like kind of bird-brained and dumb.
Anybody who's piloted a chocobo knows they're too fat, right? So you get them into some sort of like grid labyrinthine arena, they're gonna corral them in like a herd of goats, like a herd of donkeys, and he's gonna milk them.
And he's gonna milk each one of them.
And then as he's walking out of the arena with the feathers and blood speckling his his robot skin, he sees stepping around the corner, Jeremy Renner from The Hurt. And he goes, uh-oh, and then to be continued.
Bomberman. Bomberman joins our official shadow band list from Violence Island in the illustrious company of Shadow the Hedgehog, Kratos, Sephiroth, and Takahashi Majin. Those are our current champions. We'll see what happens with those guys at some later date. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. This has nothing to do with video games, but what is rock and roll?
What is rock and roll?
Okay, well, if you want to hear the real answer, my buddy Hank, who's also Frank's friend from Las Vegas.
Nobody named Frank knows somebody named Hank. Well, too much of a coincidence.
There's no Hank and Frank.
Yeah, there really is. He, on his birthday, he was really drunk, Hank was, and hanging out. Hank drank. In the Las Vegas suburbs. Frank was not there. And people had been asking him,
how did he smell?
Where rock and roll comes from. Oh, yeah, I know you're going to imply that he was rank.
I was going to say he stank
rankly.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
He rankly stank. Yeah, whatever.
People were asking where what rock and roll is and where rock and roll comes from. And at one point, while being drunk, he was annoyed enough by this question. He was like, rock and roll comes out of my dick. And then he did a front roll and threw up. So
is that the real answer? That is pretty rock and roll.
That's the real answer. So that's what rock and roll is, probably, in my opinion.
That's it, mate.
Real answer.
Real answer. Rock and roll is a form of music that lifts heavily from the blues, but makes it faster and has certain kinds of rhythms and affectations. And some of it's good and a lot of it's bad.
Yeah, just because it's hip don't mean it's good. A lot of rock and roll is just, it's just kids. Anywhere there's kids doing stuff that annoys somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's loose. And it invites criticisms of formal mistakes.
Yeah, that's amateurishness, rock and roll. Indeed.
Does that mean punk is rock and roll?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you're asking that question facetiously, though. At the time, punk was new. It was just the new rock and roll.
I mean, you may recall that it was originally called punk rock, so.
Punk rock.
That is true.
Looser than rock and roll, and then thus it carried the crown, the heavy crown of being the current day rock and roll. Probably a lot more musicologically we could get into that, though. That's about how I feel it. Anywhere that invites older people to say, oh, it's not quite as good as this one could have been, this one was, you know, that's basically rock and roll.
You ever have someone who like knows your mom who also has your email address somehow and sends out screeds about things they think sometimes?
Oh yeah.
Had one. Yeah. I thought you might have been aware of that, Jaffe. I had a guy who sent out this thing about how no interesting music has been made since the Beatles because the Beatles did all of it. And,
they did. No, just kidding.
I took a lot of offense to it and sent a big thing back that he never replied to. But man, I mean, the Beatles are fine. They're pretty good. But they pretty efficiently and mercilessly just ripped off music from other cultures and repackaged it in a way that Caucasians could enjoy. This is specifically talking about, because he was talking about their innovations.
You're kicking off a three hour conversation. Oh yeah, I mean the Beatles. I recall accusations that the Beatles had ripped off music. And he was like, we didn't really rip it off. We told people that we were copying. We tried to get people to listen to them. They really did try to get people to listen to operations.
Ripped off was me being inflammatory. They heavily. Many of their innovations were related to bringing forth instruments and time signatures and other things that white folks had not heard before, but a lot of other people had. So it's harder for me to want to call those innovations versus, I mean, I guess it's innovative to bring something to a new audience, but not as innovative as that particular guy thought it was.
There definitely are bands that blatantly ripped off, took credit, and just appropriated.
Yeah, I don't mean to suggest that
like
specifically.
I know you're not, but I'm just like, I mean, I think you can look at Elvis. You can look at
big old Elvis. Yeah,
you can look at Cream. You can look at
yeah.
I love Zeppelin, but they like totally just whitened it up, you know, without really giving a lot of due credit, as far as I could tell from, you know, stuff that I've read about them.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe, look her up. She sure was like basically the first rocky musician. She was just doing gospel music the way she wanted to do it with an electric guitar. But like, you listen to that and it's like, yeah, I guess people stole that.
Like Chuck Berry, obviously, like.
Oh, Big Berry, like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, rock and roll is, like Brandon said, it's obviously derived from Black American blues, which obviously the beat and the format of the songs, you know, doing the call and answer.
Call and response.
Yeah, call and response, which comes from Africa, which, you know, goes all the way back to slavery, obviously. But of course, like, rock and roll has kind of marsh. I think ideally it subverts ideas and ideologies, and you can do it with a little bit of percussion and three chords.
I wonder when rock music will be for young people again. Maybe it's coming up. I feel like it might come back around.
There's a lot of it, but I mean, like, the way that people like discover and find it anymore, you know, there's never going to be like grunge taking over stuff because the radios, like, because Clear Channel decides that this is what kids want now.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of stuff out
there.
Well,
in terms of the fact that music is now discovered in different ways than it ever was before, the fact that there's now more places to encounter music, more places to experience music. People put music in the background of their TikTok. People use music in YouTube videos. People use music on Instagram. People encounter music on Bandcamp, SoundCloud, etc. Underneath a viral tweet. I have noticed, and I mean, I actually specifically went looking for it a couple months ago. But boys, rock and roll is coming back to the young children. I mean, the spirit of rock and roll rage on in sure. people such as Lil Nas X, for example.
Indeed.
I believe that man is full of the Holy Spirit of rock and roll, for example. You know, mm-hmm. Just people like him. So I mean, what rock and roll spiritually is. But if we're talking about guitar rock and drums and bass, it is coming back. I've seen it.
I'll say this too, as someone with my 14-year-old daughter, like she watched Get Back. She dresses like she's from the 90s. She like asked for a record player, asked for Abbey Road for Christmas.
My big brother's son.
This stuff is like, it's not just necessarily new stuff, but they're discovering, you know, the rock and roll that, you know, that we grew up with, and they're appreciating it in a new way, in a new world, in a new context.
All right. Anyone got any recommendations for audience this week?
Oh, I think I had some. Oh, I wanted to thank Syzygy, which is, I think, how you pronounce it,
Syzygy,
for moderating the insert credit forums. I realized I had never thanked this person who is tirelessly moderating and doing a good job of it, to the extent that I pretty much don't have to think about it most of the time. And it's just one person doing it. It's not like we get a whole bunch of weirdo jerk bags in there. But, you know, whenever someone is in here like, I need to defend NFTs, they will carefully be like, OK, but just so you know, everyone here is against it, including the founder of this forum. And if you're coming in here with this as your first post, be aware that you need to make some other significant posts, or else this isn't the place for that.
Yeah, it'll seem you're here just to start a fight.
Yeah, so doing well with that, and I appreciate it. So it's not a recommendation, but it is a thanks that I feel is overdue. So thanks.
I recommend thanking Syzygy.
That's right.
Interesting. What about you, Chris Graft?
I have a recommendation.
Yeah, go for it.
I do. I've kind of been obsessed with Alan Partridge audiobooks. If you want to just like really laugh hard. Which I think that a lot of us need that.
I can't wait to
play this for y'all like next time we hang out. But Alan Partridge is for the uninitiated is alternate personality of comedian Steve Coogan, and he's a British broadcaster, and he has an audiobook called
In Norwich.
Norwich, Norfolk Digital. The first one's called I Partridge, subtitle We Need to Talk About Alan. And the other one is called Alan Partridge Nomad. I do have like a quick quote from it as a sample.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. I won't try to do his British accent, but yeah, this is like some gold here. My father has no savings to speak of. Mom tells me he didn't believe in savings, preferred instead to, quote, enjoy his money by buying a new sofa every 2 years. Footnote, he used to say, if you die owing money, you've beaten the system. And when you think of that, you get a measure of the man.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's better when he's reading it.
But yeah, that's the key feature of it is that Steve Coogan reads these audiobooks himself as right. Alan Partridge. So
yeah,
I don't see how it would work. How it would work otherwise, it would make sense.
It would be really weird to have someone else do it.
So that's my recommendation.
Yeah,
Tim, you got anything?
Well, I mean, as I always mention, I have a lot of things to recommend. However, and I believe I've mentioned this in so many words before on this show, I don't take money to recommend stuff. People keep offering me money to advertise things on this show specifically. I get about an email a week, like no joke. And I have to say no because there's a huge long list of reasons. Instead, I will say, I've been looking at Twitter. And I've seen this Wordle thing. Did you all see this? Don't even look into it. That's what I recommend. I recommend, don't look into it. It's basically a ripoff of a buddy of mine said there's some game show in the 80s. We were talking Mastermind. About it yesterday. Mastermind?
Yeah.
Whatever. And then PopCap had a little word game and they're like bookworm adventures or something. Mm-hmm. Lingo. Lingo's the game show.
Okay.
Yeah, Lingo is the name of the game show that it's exactly Wordle. And then PopCap's Bookworm Adventures from 2006 has a mode called Wordmaster in it. Look into that. Wordle is very, very stupid. So I would recommend you don't look into it.
I don't mind people playing it, but I did mute it very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I don't mind people playing it. If you're playing it and you're having fun, that's fun. It's a cute little game, though I personally don't... I don't like to think of words as things that are made out of letters or whatever. I personally think Scrabble is stupid. So if you disagree, have you ever played Scrabble with like a world champion? I have. It's stupid. It's the stupidest thing. It's people memorizing hundreds and thousands of two or three letter words that none of which makes sense.
Played Scrabble with my grandfather who was somewhat like that and was very upset the few times that I would get a word that he did not know.
Ah, one of those word knowers. Anyway, Wordle is just 5-letter words, and it's just dumb. Have you seen this, Chris Graft?
Oh, yeah. I see it come across Twitter. I have no real opinion about it. I just don't have, I don't think I have the brain capacity to let Wordle in there.
It's a smart little marketing thing to show people's progress with these little emoji grids, right? To show, like, this is how I struggled to figure this puzzle out. It's going to be gone in a couple of months. It will just be no more. I mean, a couple of weeks.
I've been playing the opposite of Wordle, which is Halo Infinite and just uncovering all of the map like a fiend.
Hey, Chris Graft, what's your favorite video game of 2021?
Of 2021?
Yeah, that you played all year last year. You can count Halo Infinite.
No, I loved Metroid Dread. Like I had a really nice time with that.
Oh man,
Madrid.
you all hate it.
Oh, I sure do not.
Neighborhood.
I do not like it. Like, I do not like that game.
Yeah, I really liked Microsoft Flight Simulator. Loop Hero.
Micro Flight.
Yeah, Loop Hero.
I liked Loop Hero.
Really fun. Hitman 3 was really funny.
Hitman 3 is dope.
It's the first time that I played.
Did that come
Hitman.
Out this year or last year?
Yeah, it did. It came
out
that
was
this
last year
around
yeah.
the same time as Loop Hero. So I'd have Loop Hero running on my laptop while I'm flipping people over the railings. Yeah, those are a few of them. So no Metroid Dread love.
No.
At all.
No.
Yeah.
Not if yet. we have vetoes during the game of the year thing and someone suggests it, I will veto it.
I thought they did a good job, except for not crediting some of their staff. Yeah.
There. I do take advertisements from people who contact me. So this week I'd like to recommend Mama Eeyore's Donkey Milk. I would also like to recommend That
see, that was it. Okay, I'll disclose. That's it. They wanted to pay me $100 to plug it, and I was like, dude, I'd plug it for god darn free. They messed up.
They gave me $20.
I thought they would just pay you in donkey milk.
How much donkey milk do you get?
They'll send you a DM.
Yeah, send me a donkey message and I'll read your thing on this show. I don't care. I also recommend that if you're listening to this show on any platform where you can subscribe to a review podcast, that you engage with us in that way to keep the algorithms pushing us to the front of the queue.
Yeah, keep it going.
You can also go to patreon.com/insertcredit where you could become a patron to submit your own topics and get access to monthly bonus episodes and other exclusive content. You can join us on forums.insertcredit.com, where you can thank Syzygy, and follow us on Twitter for our own personal updates and projects. The show is at Insert Credit. I'm at Alex Jaffe. Tim is at 108. Brandon is at Necrosofty. Chris, are you at Chris Graft?
I'm at Chris, K-R-I-S-J-R-A-F-T. G, not
right.
J. Jeez.
Chris Giraffe. Chris? Dude, did you ever have giraffe milk?
That's your own name.
Did you ever have giraffe milk, Chris Graft?
Not yet.
The show is edited by Esper Quinn with music by Kurt Feldman. Once more, I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Tim Rogers.
I'm Brandon Sheffield.
I'm Chris Giraffe.
And your game is now Giraffe.
Oh, giraffe milk. I just want to say, if anybody out there wants Brandon to eat your advertisement, send it to him.
Yeah, send it to me. Yeah.
Give him some money to do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Give Brandon $50.
Hey, give me $50.
He'll sell your memory foam pillows, gamer pillows.